It's been 10 years since the restructuring of the symphony into the Philharmonic. Tell me how the Philharmonic is doing in broad terms.
We don't try to focus on the difference between the Philharmonic and the symphony, because the Philharmonic is nothing without the 80-some years of history that the symphony brings to the table. So we don't think that we're that far distant from the symphony, from the Colorado Springs Symphony.
And it's maybe a name only.
Yeah, it's a name only. I mean, the people are generally the same, especially when you talk about the musicians on stage, which are the only people who really matter at the end of the day. We'd rather focus on the upcoming 90th anniversary of the fact that we've got a great orchestra here in our community.
And I can understand that, but at the same time, I thought it might give you a little bit of a chance to brag, because the Philharmonic is doing incredibly well, as I understand it, especially given how well you've done in these very difficult economic times.
Yeah. The bankruptcy is something that taught some lessons. And one of those lessons is that perhaps, and we probably could have a dicey argument on this, but perhaps the bankruptcy should have happened 2 or 3 years sooner than it did. It was an important restructuring. It probably was necessary. And of course, that's coming from a guy who wasn't in town at the time. But the Philharmonic came back rather quickly from the bankruptcy and came back with, I would say, some lessons learned, but also some of the same core issues that it had prior to the bankruptcy. And so that's something that that we continue to work on. I came onto the scene in 2008. They were in serious need of some bold moves to kind of snap out of it. So if I'm bragging, I would say that's one of the things that I brought to the table right off the bat. We had a very small staff. We were in sometimes a desperate cash situation to make the business work from paycheck to paycheck, from payroll to payroll. And so it was very important that we sort that out. But at the same time, we knew that if we were going to turn the corner, we had to make some bold moves. One of those things was investing more in programs. At that point, the organization was investing as little as possible in some areas of programming. The artistic was really suffering, and that was important to me that we address right away. So we did that and invested more, especially in the POPs programming. That was the area that needed the most improvement. But then also we put an exceptional deal on the table for our subscription audience. People who have known me know that I'm crazy for season tickets. I love it. And I think that that's the best way to encourage an audience to participate fully in what we offer. And without a robust season ticket audience, we really can't plan for the future. And so that's been critical. We said that if you're new with season tickets, that you get half price. You get half price in your first year, you get 30% off in your second year, and you get the regular subscriber discount after that. And so that has really caught on. We've continued to offer it, and as long as I'm here and breathing, we will continue to offer it because it really does offer an entry point for new patrons, and that's what the audience of tomorrow depends on.
So what are the numbers with season tickets?
When I started, we had 870 families with season tickets, and I tend to focus on the number of families, the number of households who have season tickets with the Philharmonic as a good metric to watch. We had 870 in 2008-2009 season, and now we've got about 2,500 families with season tickets.
I understand that POPs is already sold out for the entire season, or is that just season tickets?
The POPs series, it's 6 concerts throughout the season, some wide variety of programs. That is sold out for the first time with season tickets only.
And you talked about improving the POPs offerings when you came on board. What does that mean to you, and how important is POPs to structuring a great and financially stable season?
Well, it's about offering variety. The core bread and butter of what we do is the masterworks: Vivaldi, Haydn, Beethoven, Mozart, Brahms, Rachmaninoff. And the list goes on and on and on. We know that we wouldn't exist without those composers. And so that's where we put the most emphasis in our season. That's where most of our concerts lie. They lie in that category. But we know that we live in a modern world, and we live in a world that has other desires as well. And a Philharmonic orchestra is an ensemble that can provide a wide variety of programming. And so POPs is an important part of that. I would say that the programming for the POPs series is the more challenging work that we do. And it's really based on the visionary leadership of our music director, Josep Caballé Domènech. He's the master of the masterworks. He's the one who really sets the vision for those programs. And because of his leadership, masterworks and the Vanguard programs, which are all classically based, are almost the easiest part of our programming from year to year. We know that when we look at POPs, we're looking at providing a wide variety of programming and appealing to an ever-changing audience, whereas a classical audience, we know what that is. We know what that looks like. But a POPs audience, especially with the baby boomers entering a new stage of life and participating more and more, the desires that the POPs audience introduces is a tough nut to crack. So providing the level of variety in the POPs audience and a consistent level of quality is a challenge. But I got to say, for the last 3 or 4 years, I think we've nailed it year to year. This new POPs season is probably the best one yet, and I can't wait to see what we come up with next year.
So you've got – well, let's talk about the Masterworks and talk about Josep Cavaller Domenech. That was a huge coup to get him, and he's – programming these concerts, these seasons that are have incredible diversity and bring out great works, but is also bringing back lesser known works, and we're seeing some more daring choices. How much of that is driven by his really overpowering charisma? I mean, is it him or is it the seasons? Is it both? How do you see that?
Well, I think that there are a few things at stake for an orchestra when they're programming a season, and it's something that I'm really proud of, because we do this stuff as a team. It is based on his vision, and we say to him, Maestro, what are the flags you want to put in the ground? What are the big, bold artistic statements from season to season that are important to you as an artistic leader, but also what does the orchestra need to do to progress and become the next level, to make artistic achievements from year to year? Also, a question that has to be asked is, what does the community need from us? And invariably, those answers are about variety. They are about leading taste, not simply following taste. Some people would love to hear a Beethoven cycle year after year after year, and we're just not going to do it, because we know that we need to be out front leading people to discover works, because that's part of our mission too. So these are the questions that we have to ask. And another thing that I'm really proud of, in a programming process, there's no artistic decision that isn't also a financial decision, because some things just simply cost more than others to do. But in our programming process, we do most of it without talking about money, because we know that that puts a stopper in the artistic creativity. We want to unleash that and for a time simply be artists and simply let Josep be the kind of visionary that we know he is.